Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. In this podcast, I'm going to cover a whole bunch of random topics, and then in the next podcast, I'm going to launch a four-week series about how the executive functioning part of ADHD really does affect getting organized. So I just have a whole bunch of information I want to share with you, so let's get started. First of all, I recorded a few podcasts ago about different places that you could donate items. And one of the things that I said was that a lot of food pantries, homeless shelters, places like that would like you to donate cleaning supplies because their clients cannot use food stamps to get cleaning supplies. And every time I say that, I'm a little nervous because I'm like, what if I'm wrong? What if they can use food stamps to get food cleaning supplies? But I'm not wrong. Just at our church last week, they just launched for the second year the spring cleaning drive for Easter. So at our church, they're asking everyone to bring cleaning supplies on Easter to fill up the food bank. So we have one of the largest food banks in our area, and we service a lot of people in the Cincinnati area. And like I said, they can't buy cleaning supplies with their food stamps. And honestly, that's not their priority, is buying cleaning supplies. So I say all this because a few weeks ago, if you're doing the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, you went through your cleaning supplies. And if you're anything like me, you use the Mr. Clean magic eraser, Mr. Clean on your floors, and Windex and everything else. Really, if you limited me to those three cleaners, all right, I like the scrubbing bubbles thing you put in the toilet. Other than that, I don't really need anything. All right, maybe soft scrub. I like soft scrub. But you get the idea. It's not like I need 20 different cleaners to clean my house. I need those three plus two on occasion. I need my laundry detergent that I like, my dryer sheet that I like, and the kitchen sink soap that I like. Other than that, I don't need any more cleaners. But what happens is we see an ad and we go buy a new cleaner, or some door-to-door salesman comes and we buy some cleaner, or we thought we needed this specialized cleaner for this specialized thing. And what happens is whenever that thing happens, like the red wine gets spilled on the carpet floor, you do what you saw your mom do, which is put club soda on it. And you don't think about the fact that, oh yeah, I bought this special carpet cleaner just in case we had red wine spill on our carpet. By the way, I like white wine, so why I would even buy a cleaner for red wine, I have no idea. But you get the idea. We do not make rational decisions at the store when we are buying these cleaners. Or some of us, like if you've had your parents pass away or you've helped somebody else clean up their house, they'll be getting rid of things. They'll be like, oh, do you want this cleaner? And you're like, well, yeah, because I don't want to spend $5, $10, $15 on this cleaner someday when I need it. And you're never going to use it. So first of all, go through your house and all those cleaners that you bought and you're never going to use, give those away. And then if you have extra money and could buy more, that'd be awesome. Now, the second thing I wanted to say about donations is all about Goodwill. So in the first podcast about where to donate items, I really focused on everywhere locally in Cincinnati that you can donate things that are not Goodwill. And that's for a couple of reasons, which I'm pretty sure I alluded to in that podcast. But basically, I'm afraid to recommend Goodwill, which is crazy because it's my number one place to donate things. And there are a couple of reasons why I have stopped recommending Goodwill, even though that is where I still donate 100% of the things that we get rid of. And number one, I don't watch the news, but I've heard rumors that there's something about the person that's at the top of Goodwill makes a lot of money, like a ridiculous amount of money. I cannot speak intelligently to this because I don't watch the news, which is a really great thing because it's a political season and I don't even care. I will vote. Don't worry. I vote. But I don't get caught up in media and what they have to say about everything and getting us all riled up about who makes what, where, and what they've done. All I know about Goodwill is what I see and what I have experienced over the last 20 years living in my area of Cincinnati. In the beginning of my professional organization business in 2012, I was cleaning out my house and I was starting to organize other people's houses, and I was doing 100% of the organization that our company does. And I would go to Goodwill, no kidding, 3, 4, 5 times a week. It was crazy. Like, sometimes I'd go there multiple times a day. And at that time, for about 19 years, all we had here in Westchester were those trailers that you would drive up to, give them the stuff, and they'd put it on the trailer for Goodwill. Now, over the last couple of years, when I have been going to Goodwill on such a regular basis, of course, I used them before then, but when it became like practically a daily stop on my drive, here are the things I noticed. Number one, I noticed the people that were working at Goodwill. They were courteous. They were helpful. They always offered me a receipt, which I never take because I don't deduct the donations that I make. But if I'm donating for a client, I always take the receipt and mail it to them. They were polite. They were listening to music. It was not loud. They would sit in their cars if it was cold or rainy or hot, waiting for the next person. They didn't lollygag when they got out of their car to help you with their donations. They popped right out. They just seemed to have a work ethic. And to be working outside all the time is not a great job. And these people were not sitting in luxury cars. They were sitting in cars that needed a lot of work. And I was a little nervous if those cars were going to be able to make it home. A few years ago, I went to a high school presentation of things that children with learning disabilities and IEPs and developmental delays can do after high school. Children that are not going to go to a 4-year white collar high school or college. They might go to a community school. They might not even go to a community school. What do we do with these children when they graduate from high school? My children, it looks like, are going to end up going to community school. But when they were in, 6th, 7th grade, I didn't know. So I started researching what options are out there in our area for people with disabilities and people that would not go to college. And at that event, there was a representative from Goodwill. And they explained the summer program that they have that we are considering putting our son in, which is a 6-week summer program. It's like a camp, but it's a work camp. And you have a coach and you actually get a job and they teach you how to do all of the aspects of a job. And that coach actually goes to the job with you and helps you. Now, I'm also mentioning this because I'm about to launch a 4-week series, 4, maybe 5 weeks. I think it's 4 weeks, on how ADHD affects organization. And both of my children have ADHD, and my son has a severe case of ADHD. He is very functional, and medication is working, but I'm going to tell you there are 8 different areas of executive functioning that ADHD affects, and it affects 7 out of 8 for my son. So it is, you know, sometimes when you have a disability in one area, you can use another skill set to pull yourself up. Well, when you have issues with 7 out of 8 of the executive functioning areas, it's super, super hard to make that leap. So I was talking to the guy that runs this Goodwill program, which was, you know, a teacher, a coach, a leader, someone who's making a good salary, I'm sure. And they employ all of these coaches to help all of these kids learn these work skills. It doesn't have to be kids. Like, you could go in your 20s to this camp, I'm pretty sure. You do have to pay for the camp, but there's a way to get vouchers for that, which I'll explain in a minute. And then I also know, just on past research, like, I'm not great at detail. I can't tell you the exact podcast or the exact whatever I've read. But over the years, as I've heard these grumblings of, oh, Goodwill is bad, Goodwill is bad, I'll do a little bit of research here and there. And every time I do, I come up with the same things. Goodwill is great at employing people. They employ people, and they employ people in the city that otherwise wouldn't have jobs. And some of the ways they do that is at their drop-off center. You can drop off stuff, and those people obviously take it out of your car. But also, when I heard an interview, and this was on Clutter Interrupted, they explained that they want you to donate everything because the people that they employ sort the donations. And let's say you donate one sock. Well, they will then recycle the donations that they're not going to sell. So not only are they employing people to sort things, but then they're taking what is not sellable and they're able to recycle. I want to say it's 85%. I could be wrong on that statistic. So even if I'm donating stuff, it's not like it's going to go in a landfill. It's going to be recycled. It's going to be sold. And all along that chain, it is employing people for free for me. Like, I'm providing jobs in my area for free because I'm just giving them the stuff to provide them with the jobs. And then they're earning the money by selling the stuff. Okay, those are my personal thoughts on Goodwill and why I like them so much. However, I totally can hear you if you're in your car, on the phone, or whatever, going, yeah, well, but they shouldn't profit on it at all. Like, they shouldn't make any money at all. So I have a solution for you. Like, when I saw this come in my email inbox yesterday, I would have screamed, except the whole family is home. So I'm on an email list here in Butler County in Ohio for parents and caretakers of people who have developmental disabilities. Like I told you a few years ago, I didn't know what our kids' lives would look like in their 20s and how many services they would need, and I wanted to know what was out there. And this group also offers education. Like, they'll bring in Social Security so you can ask questions about how to qualify for Social Security, or different government assistance, or different job opportunities, or different therapies, and especially the transition from that 17, 18 year old into the 1920s. That's a really, when you're going from the school IEP into a young adult, you have to transition all of your services. So this is why I'm on this email newsletter. And the email newsletter came out, and the subject was spring cleaning equals donations to Goodwill equals vouchers for people we supplement. And I was like, wait, whoa, what? So here's the deal. There are three Goodwill areas in the Butler County area in Cincinnati that have this program. And the one that I go to on a regular basis that's 1 mile from my house is one of these Goodwills. I'm like blown away. So here's how it works. When you donate your items to one of these three Goodwills in my area, it's just like you would any other time. I donate my things, they offer me my receipt to write it off on my taxes, and they take the stuff out of the car for me, just like it's always been. But if you use this little donation ticket, which when you go to the blog post, you'll be able to download this if you live in the Butler County area in Cincinnati, Ohio, then the items that you donate don't get sold. So if you have a big problem with Goodwill selling the products in order to employ all these people, this is the way where the items won't even get sold. Now, your items will get sold. It's not like they earmark these items don't get sold, but the, and I'm not sure, I don't have the details because I'm recording this on the weekend. I've sent an email over to the person in charge of this program. So when I get the information, I'll put it in the blog post. I'm not sure if it's the number of items you donate go into this voucher program or the dollar amount of the items you donate go into this voucher program. But essentially, when you donate your items with this donation ticket, they either take the number of items you donated or the value of the items that you donated, and they turn it into a voucher for people in the Butler County program, this program that I get the emails from, that need to shop at Goodwill. So these people shop at Goodwill, and they use these vouchers as their money to buy the stuff that you don't want, but they get actually what they need. So let's say you donated size 4 tops and they need size 12 tops. They get, you know, they get whatever they need. So last year, they had $9,960 in vouchers. Now, this is shopping at Goodwill, people. This isn't shopping at Kohl's or Macy's or Target. Do you know how much money that would be at Kohl's and Target? That's a lot of money, like almost $10,000. That's a lot of money. I am so excited. I am running off this little voucher ticket that I need, making 20 of them, and then I am going to keep them in my car because I leave a job and I drop things off at this donation center all the time, and I'll be giving it to the Organize 365 staff. But I really wanted to say this because I wanted to clarify why I like Goodwill. It's convenient for me. It's so close to me. There aren't any other donation centers here in this area where I live. And if there are, they've come afterwards. I'm so used to going to Goodwill. And lately, when I've been meeting with organizational clients, I would say 50% of them are saying, oh yeah, you could donate everything, but don't take it to Goodwill. So obviously, whatever this article is, or people didn't used to say that to me. So there's this new sentiment about let's not take things to Goodwill. So for me now, I'm so excited that I could show them this paper and say, I understand if you don't want to, whatever it is about Goodwill, but the actual one that we will drop your items off at will have no financial benefit for Goodwill, and it will only benefit the people in Butler County who really need your services. All right, that was a really, really long rant, but I felt it needed to be said. So that's donations, you know, and I'm starting to get really, really excited. My daughter had a day the other day. She went to Animals. Oh, I have such a blank with animals. Oh, a shelter. She went to a shelter and did laundry and cleaning as part of a school project about how to give back. She came home from school and she said, okay, we're going to give back. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go collect school supplies and then our whole family is going to fly to Mexico to give it to kids and then we're going to teach them. I was like, okay. And one thing I learned as a teacher is, you know, don't thwart the creative process. Let her go down this rabbit trail. Let's see where this goes. And she said, I think we'll go this summer or next summer. I said, well, if we're going to Mexico, it's for sure going to be next summer because it's going to take a lot of money to do that. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go make a plan. So she comes back later and she says, all right, I'm thinking maybe we'll give these school supplies here locally in Cincinnati. So are there people who need school supplies in Cincinnati? I'm like, yes, they do. Especially in the fall, that'll be Reach Out Lakota and our church gives away backpacks of school supplies. So we could start doing that. Okay. She goes, but I really want this to go to the kids and those kids are in school and kids who don't go to school. Where are those kids? And so she went away and she came back a little bit later. And she said, what about homeless shelters? And I said, well, that's so interesting that you say that because I've done some research and there's a homeless shelter that I drive by all the time. And 70% of the people there are kids. She goes, that's what I want to help. I want to help that homeless shelter. I said, okay. So I told her from my research what they needed. And she went on the internet, found the homeless shelter and found more things I hadn't put on the list. So that list that I made for you guys of what different places need is not like every single thing they need. It's like the big things that they need. So she made a bigger list and she's like, and then we can make these gifts for people. I said, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. First, we have to provide their needs before you come up with gifts. And second of all, you can't just take in three gifts. Like we have to know how many people there are there so that we bring enough for everybody. So it's Saturday night. She goes in her bedroom. She calls the homeless shelter. She comes back. She goes, 20 people. They have 20 people. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, game on. Apparently we're doing this homeless shelter. I'm super excited. She's made up this letter. She's run it off. She's ready to take it to neighbors. She's going to collect the things they need. And we're going to go to the homeless shelter. And I'm sure there are other things we're going to find that they need there. So we as a family are really getting into this, how to get rid of the stuff we have, but to give it to other people in need. All right, now I have a couple of random updates. That was the main bulk of the podcast, but now I have a bunch of random updates that really have no connection. So those of you with ADHD might really like this because there's no connection whatsoever. We're just going to jump from topic to topic. All right, so the first thing is I have really been wrestling with what social media to use for Organize 365. Since I have been around and blogging for so long, as each social media comes on the scene, I try to add it into my queue of what to do. But I've been feeling for the last like 6 to 8 months, like, Lisa, you have to be really careful what social media you're on because the people that you are trying to lead are trying to get organized. And if I wanted to join Periscope to do on-demand videoing, but I never did it because number one, it only lasts for 24 hours. So you either have to get on live with me or watch it within 24 hours. And I don't want anybody stressed out or taking time out of when they would be organizing to find me online. I didn't think that was a good idea. Number two, very few people I know are on Periscope or even know what the heck Periscope is, which might be you. So for me to use this service, I would have to get you to know what Periscope is, sign up for Periscope, and then use Periscope. Again, I don't think that's a very good use of your time. But I was even looking at other social media platforms that I'm on, and the last couple weeks I've been really trying to use Twitter and Instagram more. And what I find is I don't get Twitter. I still don't get Twitter. But I am getting better at checking my messages and checking my notifications. So I'm doing well with that, but it's definitely not my platform. And I've been posting on Instagram like about 5 pictures a week, which definitely is not enough. Again, I don't get Instagram. Like, I could see the things going through the feed. It's not really a good conversation starter. Like, it's kind of fun, but I don't really get it. So Facebook is the thing that I've always understood. And I got away from the feed and just moved everybody into the groups. Actually, for a long time, when you went to Organize 365, if you clicked on the Facebook little icon, which on most sites would take you to their page, it took you to my group because Facebook wasn't showing anything in the page. So what's the point in sending you there? Any content that I put in there, like only 2% of the people that followed the page got to see it. Well, if you follow me on a social media platform, I want you to be able to see me. So I put you in the group and that works really well. And the conversations are great. I really like groups. So this weekend or last week, what came out was there's now the Periscope on demand ability to do video in Facebook on my Facebook page. So I recorded my first one yesterday, but by the time you're listening to this podcast, I will have been doing this for 2 weeks. I will have been already doing this strategy for 2 weeks. And so now I am going to keep with this one. I think that Facebook works well for those of us in the Organized 365 community because the people that I primarily talk to are people in the survival phase of life or the downsizing phase of life. They are not the people in the accumulating phase of life, which are on all of these different social media platforms. They're getting the kids on the bus. They're on Facebook. They go to work. They check Facebook. They do the kids stuff. They check Facebook. They go to bed. So they're on Facebook. Even if you're on some of the other social media platforms, you're also on Facebook. And there are a couple of blogs that I follow that I only catch up on Saturday. So I go back and I look at their website on Saturday, and then I go through their Facebook page on Saturday, and I just kind of catch up that way. So it's kind of an organized way to get the social media because it's all in one place. So on the Facebook page, I can record these live videos. Now, the other thing I don't like about live video is there's this, and obviously this is why social media does it, is there is this desire to be on live when the presenter is on live. And I don't want anybody rearranging their schedule because I'm going to be on live, nor do I think I'm any big of a deal that people would drop everything to watch me live on a video at all. I don't think this at all. But I know the social media makes us think this way because I know I do it. So I am going to try to be consistent about when I do these live videos. And my goal is Monday through Friday, I will do it at 8 a.m. because other than a delayed day, pretty much I can at 8 a.m. at least pull over in my car and record a quick video. And then on Saturdays, it'll be sometime between 10:30 and 11. Of course, that could change depending on what we're doing that weekend. So what I'm going to do, because I want it to be organized and a point and not just to get on there and ramble on like crazy, like this podcast, I'm going to tell you whatever the post of the day is. So it's going to be another way to get you motivated on what you could do to get organized that day. So let's say Tuesday is always the Pinterest roundup. So let's say the Wednesday post is on using your car as a home office. So I'm going to say, hey, the post on the blog today is using your car as a home office, and maybe I'll show you my car as a home office. I don't know what I'll do, but it'll be something related to what's on the blog, because the last thing I want to do is for it to be another thing. Like if you're doing the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, that's something you can do. And then on the blog every day, there's something else. So Monday is the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge. Friday is this podcast. But every other day on the blog is something else. It's a Pinterest roundup. It's another post. Usually Saturdays is a series we're going through. Not sure which one is right now. But it's a series of posts like, it's organizing your email inbox right now. So I think you're on week two of organizing your email inbox. And it keeps taking you through that. Sunday is always the Sunday basket or a post about the Sunday basket. So I think Tuesday, since that's a Pinterest roundup, and we all know how bad I am at Pinterest, maybe that's the day people have started asking, like, we want to see your 31 bags and how you use them, or your Wild Tree stuff, or, you know, the products that you're developing on Etsy. Like, we want to see how you use them in your house. So maybe that's what I'll do on those days. Now, you don't have to be on live. So it'll record at 8, and it'll be recording live. So anytime after 8, you can see it. But it'll stay on there forever. Like where Periscope 24 hours later, it went away. This isn't going to go away. So on Saturday, you could be like, oh, on Tuesday, she went over her new tax binder. I always wondered what that actually looked like in person, like how she was actually physically using it. Then you can always scroll back and see that. Okay, now, next, totally random. I have one of, you know how you watch those news shows, and they'll have a fact checker that'll go back through the facts and be like, hey, this was not true, so we have to retract what we said. Okay, consistently over the last year, I have been inaccurately reporting the hours that I drive the kids to school. So I was listening to a podcast of my own for another reason, and I heard myself say that I drive the kids to school 25 hours per week. And I remember in a recent podcast, I said the same thing. And I was like, that really doesn't seem right. Like, really? So I sat down and added it up, and I am incorrect. I drive the kids to school 13 hours a week, every single week. And then there's additional times that I have to drive for extracurricular and things like that. I am in my car 25 hours a week with the professional organizing and meetings that I go to driving. So I do drive 25 hours a week, but only 13 of those are school related. So that's just a public service announcement, and I'm sorry. All right, two more things and then I'm done. First of all, the website is finally changed. You're going to be like, if you're binge listening to this, you are cracking up right now. You're going to be like, she said that four podcasts ago and six podcasts before that and three podcasts before that. And I believe in August. Like, yes, you're right. I have said that multiple times that the website is changed, but now it's really, really changed. Like, I went ahead and changed the theme, which means it totally looks different than it ever has before. So here's the thing. When you are getting organized in your house, you're going to say to people, I'm getting organized. People are like, it still looks trash to me. No, I'm really organized. Come look at my pantry. Come look at this. Come look at that. And your house still looks like a mess, right? Or there are areas of your house that you haven't been able to touch because, unfortunately, we can't wave a magic wand and it takes a year to get through the entire house, right? Well, it's taken me a year to get through my website. And as I've been making the changes, I have been doing some rather drastic things like eliminating a third of my posts. I got rid of half of the pins on Pinterest. I think we got rid of 30% of the Pinterest boards. I've just been doing a lot of decluttering. Well, what is so interesting is there are two people that I follow, Pat Flynn, which is Smart Passive Income. He has a podcast, and Amy Lynn Andrews, and she teaches you how to blog. And Amy Lynn Andrews has an email newsletter that I give every Saturday morning called the Use Letter, U-S-E, like use this letter. It's not a newsletter, it's a use letter. And in the use letter, she tells you what she's up to on her blog and what she's been noticing. Well, both Pat Flynn and Amy Lynn Andrews have deleted a bunch of their posts. And they talked all about how other people are doing the same thing. And I was like, wait, whoa, what? I didn't even know anybody else was doing this. So apparently, I am not the only crazy one. That a lot of people who have been blogging, or I shouldn't say a lot of people, but some people who've been blogging for 5 years or more, find out that we have, you know, I had over 1,000 posts and 1,000 posts and pages on my blog, which is a lot. Like, who's ever going to read all that? And it's not all on message and it's not all organized. So in addition to deleting, I cleaned up my tags, I cleaned up my categories. And then finally, what happened was I had a coach and a couple other people in February say to me, Yeah, it's good, but. And I was like, okay, here's the thing. I just have to change the theme. I really liked the pink and the orange and the way it looked like a blog and all the little pictures and the sidebar. I loved all those things because it took me so long to create them. And I like seeing those on websites I go to. But when I really look at it, 70% of you that go to the blog do so on a phone or a tablet. And when you're on a phone or a tablet, you don't see all the cute little things on the side anyway. You only see what's in the middle. And I was in love with all the little things that I'd created over time. Like, I wanted to keep them all and organize them and put them in boxes. And the bottom line was they didn't service you, the reader, at all. I just remember writing the posts or going through that phase or figuring that thing out and sharing it with you. And that really, at this point, is not beneficial because when you went to the site, you didn't know where to click. And then when you did know where to click, I was so in love with all the little ideas I wanted to share with you that I got you sidetracked from the mission of getting your house organized. And so now when you go to the Organize 365 site, which I didn't even make a big announcement when I did it a couple weeks ago, when you go, you'll see it's totally different. You get to the Sunday basket, which really is the start of everything. If you don't have a Sunday basket yet, that is really where you should start because everything flows from there. Once you understand the Sunday basket, you can make those decisions. You're doing it on a weekly basis. You've set up that routine. You're ready to go on to organizing your paper or the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, or going through life stages and unexpected events just to find out, you know, what I think about the stage of life you're going through and some mindset shifts that you might need in order to move on. So the website is totally different. I am still in the process of editing and updating the posts and reposting them. But if you haven't been there in a while, you might want to go check it out. Now, the last thing I have to say along those lines is that the mastermind community that I created in December and launched in January of 2016 is closed right now. And there are a couple reasons for this. As of the time of this publication, it's the end of March 2016. So the group is going to stay closed until the middle of August. And here's why. I always knew that the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge worked best if you started it the last week in August and went through Memorial Day. Because the way I designed the 40 weeks really tie into the seasonality of the year. So you're organizing your closet in October when you want to be changing over your closet anyway. And you're organizing your storage room between, Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's because all of those decorations aren't in there. So it's easier to organize. But the first couple weeks really build on each other. You do the Sunday basket, and then you do your calendar, and then you plan your snacks and your lunches, and then you set up a donation staging area. That's your first month. It's all preparatory work that first month. When I signed people up in December and had them start in the storage room, and then they're organizing video games, and then they're it worked, and the group is great, and we are having a grand old time, and I am learning so much, and I've changed a lot since I launched it in January, and I'm so grateful for the people who jumped in and the community that we have, but it wasn't the best for them. It would have been better for them if I had started them with week one, and if I had started them with week one in January, it would not have worked as well because those weeks don't line up with the January to October timeframe. You would have hit the patch in summer where everybody slows down and it would have lost momentum. So because it's not the best for you, I am closing down the Mastermind Community membership site. Not closing it down, but you can't join it right now. But you can still go to the page, organize365.com/mastermind, read all about it, and sign up for the interest list. And on the interest list for next fall, you're going to be getting some emails along the way where as I think of ideas or things are coming out, you'll find out. But also the first 2 weeks in August, you're going to end up in a free mastermind, get ready for the fall group. So essentially what will happen is the first two full weeks in August, you will get emails and printables and everything you would get if you were in the mastermind group. So you can kind of like try it out before you buy. And it will guide you through getting your home and your kids ready to go back to school and ready to tackle the 2016-17 school year. Now, I know some of you don't have kids, but I find even if you don't have kids, there is a feeling of a school year. Like just even the driving patterns that you take change when kids are in school, right? When you do your shopping changes when kids are in school or when college is let out, right? Like there is an ebb and a flow to the school year. When all these people do this at this time, even if you don't have kids, I suggest you buy all your office supplies in August. It's the best time to buy them, right? So I'll have stuff like that in there as well. The Mastermind Community will open up the second to last week in August through, I think, the first or second week in September. So you'll have 4 weeks to sign up for the Mastermind Community if you want to do it next year. And the pricing is going to stay the same, but it's not going to be every single month. It's going to be just 10 months, and there will be a one-time buy option. So to have a professional organizer, to have our Organize 365 team come out to your house for one session with one organizer for 5 hours is $300. So that's how much the Mastermind Community is. Essentially, you're getting me as your coach for a year to go through your house in 40 weeks, and it's a $300 fee. Or you could pay $40 a month for 10 months. So that's how it'll be priced. So you can prepare for that if that's something you want to do. And of course, everything is still going to be available on the blog free as it is. The Mastermind Community just focuses you and gives you more tactical daily to-dos in those areas and keeps you focused on what you should be doing in order to get through your entire house. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this right now, because it's not like a ton of people are signing up for the Mastermind Community right now. It's not something where you're like, oh my gosh, darn it, I missed it. I'm not like disappointing a whole bunch of people. But in the next four podcasts, when I go through executive functionings, ADHD, which is also going to hit on depression and anxiety, and the main thing, which is you don't know where to start and you don't have the energy to get started, which is true in all three of those, the thing that really would help you is the Mastermind Community. And I'm going to explain why how I set up the Mastermind Community is different than all the free content that I offer you and how it really does specifically get you over these hurdles that are chemical. They're chemical in your brain. And I don't want to be I was thinking, okay, when I share this, people are going to join the mastermind community. I would, at least if I knew there was an answer, I would join it, but it wouldn't be the right time. So then you'd be joining like a week 34 organizing your garage. It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. It would set you up for failure. So I want to explain why it would work for you, but let you know that you're going to have to wait to join. Okay? All right. So that is a whole bunch of randomness right there, isn't it? Like crazy. I am really looking forward to the next 4 weeks to really dive into the executive functioning part of your brain and how that affects organization. Have a great week.